Peter wasn't wrong to want to stay on the mountain. The Lord Jesus had been revealed as not just a savior like Joshua or David, but someone that was from God himself. For Peter had actually already confessed Jesus to be the Son of God, he and all the apostles. It was only after that that the Lord revealed himself in his resurrected glory before he died and rose from the dead. But Peter wanted to stay there, have tents put up, stay in that contentment, bask in the presence of God Almighty, who is not against us but is for us. Stay above the struggle and afflictions of daily life. But as you noticed, Peter was interrupted. He was interrupting that which the Lord was purposing. For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all reveal who God is through the Son of Man, that is Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John were reminded of that, reminded that Jesus had been set apart at his baptism to fulfill all righteousness, to be what we could not be, to save us from our own unfaithfulness to God's promises, to God himself. So the Lord God says, listen to him. Listen to this man in the flesh. So Jesus is set apart as the voice that you are to hear, to pay attention to more than any other voice on earth. No other voice of man compares, can overcome, or should contradict the voice of Jesus himself. So it is through him that Peter, James, and John were to pay attention. But there are many voices. There are many voices, and now we are overwhelmed by a flood of voices of authority saying, this is the way it is, this is the way it should be, this is the way it ought not be. We have podcasts and newsfeed and newspapers. We have conversations with people that we don't understand because they're listening to other voices. I don't mean voices in their head. I mean that there's so many voices of authority. Just scrolling through a news feed on the internet, just reading two papers, will give you more than one voice of authority. Not only that, but what is driving those voices? What is their view of the world? Are they coming from a Christian perspective? Are they coming from a perspective that man is sinful by nature? Are they coming from the voice of authority from Buddha, from Muhammad, from Joseph Smith, from Confucius down over in China, although everything's down from here, I keep forgetting that. Over in China, you have all these voices of authority, whether they speak now or they have spoken thousands of years ago. When the Father says, listen to Jesus, he is setting Christ's authority and voice above all others. Is not just weighing them all together and seeing which one sounds best or which one appeals to me most, but that Jesus as the final word. For his authority is demonstrated in the record of Holy Scripture, of history. No other voice of authority has the authority to calm the waves and the sea, to multiply loaves of bread and fish. No other authority, no other voice can drive out those fallen angels from those afflicted. No other voice can raise the dead simply by saying, "Come out from the tomb." And more importantly, every other voice has either died or is going to die. Every other voice of authority. You can be the most charismatic leader in the world, and then you die and become worm dust. There are tons and tons of graves of those who said, "This is the truth. I am the way." But only one actually opened again, and he still lives. Consider that the next time you are swayed by a rather moving podcast or an interview on the radio. And it is no mystery how the Lord speaks to us that we may hear him. He does not speak to us directly into our brains, but he speaks to us the same words so that we have agreement. All of Scripture is God-breathed. It is all of Jesus. He himself says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it is they that bear witness about me." All of Scriptures are about Christ. And after his resurrection, when their ears were very much open to what he was saying, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the Scripture. And he doesn't exclude any Scriptures, any of the Old Testament. And he said to them, "Thus it is written," the whole thing, "that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." All of Scripture proclaims Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, and that is Christ." All of Scripture is from Christ, from the Word. And he still says, "Listen to him." But still, Peter isn't wrong. He wants to stay on that mountain? Well, we could listen to Jesus on the mountain. Why would we want to go back down? Why would we go back into the hustle and bustle? But that is precisely where Jesus takes him. That is precisely where Jesus goes. For it is recorded that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. So we can see that mountain. We can see the shining city on the hill. We can see that which is coming for us promised by Christ's resurrection. But to get there, we must go through fire and floods. We suffer the tribulation, the afflictions of our own sinful nature. We know what Jesus has said to us, and we cannot fulfill it. We struggle every day with loving our neighbor in our own place. We struggle with the temptations of the flesh, of the mind. We struggle with those who speak against us, and yes, may even strike us. And we want to go back to that mountain. We want to go back to that life above the struggle. Not only that, but then Satan himself, the fallen angel, uses these things, our flesh and the sin of man, to lie and murder each day. And if that wasn't enough, God said, listen to Jesus. So then when we come down the mountain, coming through this tribulations, we have this clear voice every day. And we can see the city, and we, while it may be rough sometimes, we have that clear, strong voice. But unfortunately, every day we have contradicting voices thrown at us, assaulting us. Not just contradicting Christ, but contradicting each other. Every day we have neighbors who need our help. And we must spend our energy and our time with someone. We have to make a choice. How are we going to save that family? How are we going to support life and marriage and the faith? Well, there's plenty of advice and counsel for that, isn't there? So each day, even when we struggle with the very earth itself, with the frigid cold and the machines that break, and that includes your arm or your leg. We struggle and we wonder how we're going to get through that. How is it that Christ could be revealed in glory? Why can't we just go right there? This is precisely what he was baptized into. This is precisely what you are baptized into. The imagery of baptism is dying and rising, is drowning and waking. That first part is not pleasant. These things must be put away. But Christ has gone before us, hasn't he? We do not come down the mountain by ourselves. He doesn't just wave goodbye, have a good time, hope to see you later in heaven. No, but he comes down the mountain with Peter, James, and John. He goes before them. They don't understand this. But he suffers the sin and the guilt and the shame of all mankind in his flesh. And since he was innocent, none of it was his own, it was all the worse. But if we have been united with him in a death like his, if we struggle in this daily life with those contradicting voices and our sin and the sin of others, we shall also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We cannot fully understand what that will be like. We know that somehow what we will be has not yet appeared. We get a hint because Christ rose from the dead in his flesh and blood. Peter, James, and John got a hint on that transfiguration. But that is still something that we can see through the fire and the flood. We can see somehow that he will transform this lowly body to be like his glorious body. the same one that we struggle with, the aches and pains and cancers and breaks each day. Jesus says, the Father says, listen to him. And what was the first thing that Jesus said after the Father said that? He said, rise and have no fear. Arise, stand up, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. Jesus takes up the cross, puts it on his shoulders, gives you your own. That same struggle through that fire and flood. And he heads down into the valley of the shadow of death and says, follow me. For even though he walked, and even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear any evil. For he is with you, alongside you, and going first. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes that light seems closer than others. Sometimes it seems so far away, but it is there. He will bring you through it. That's his promise. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen.